Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, then we're going to skip over to 31 and 32. We're taking these topics out there. Paul has them kind of all combined in. And Ephesians 4, 26 says this. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Going down to verse 31, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we pray for your understanding as we look at the Word and for the ability to obey. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, you read every day in the newspaper or see on TV the reports of people who are killing someone that they used to love or that they should be loving or that they just met or that they saw just briefly because they're angry at them. Some years ago, in a little town just south of Birmingham, two ladies who were moms and homemakers, right at a place down there in the southern part of the town where there were a lot of homes, on this little place where they come off the interstate, one block the other one, and these two women, in their mid-30s, had an altercation, and one killed the other dead that day with her gun. Things that's hard to understand, and it all comes from uncontrolled anger. As you look at the scripture, you realize that there's a lot of that in the Old and New Testament both, and God gives us warnings about that. But as we look at our own lives, there's a lot of that too. When you look at the scripture, he's teaching us this here. Uncontrolled anger is a wicked emotion that must be removed from the lives of those who are believers. It must be removed from our lives. Now, he gives three commands in here. The first one is in verse 26. And this seems kind of odd to us. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, I know most people say, wait a minute, I thought anger was always a sin. And I don't want to minimize anger, okay? But I want to look at the difference between those two kind of angers. There's what we might call a righteous anger, and it has the idea of being angry at sin and the results of sin. For instance, is anybody angry about suicide bombers? Is anybody angry about innocent policemen being killed? Is anybody angry about children being molested and murdered? We could list a whole lot of things, couldn't we? But when we talk about a righteous anger, it's the kind of anger that is angry at sin and its results. God has a righteous anger. God was angry at the Israelites in chapter 11 of Numbers when they were grumbling, even though he was providing so well for them. He was angry when they rebelled against his leadership in Numbers 14. He was angry in Exodus when they were mistreating those who were helpless and hopeless. And you see Jesus in the New Testament. He was angry whenever they were taking advantage of the people in the temple, remember? And he turned over the tables in the temple and said, this is my Father's house, not a den of thieves as you've made it. He was angry at sin and the result of sin. And we can be that way, but so often our anger is not a righteous anger, is it? So often our anger is not. And sometimes people say, well, what's the difference between righteous and unrighteous? Unrighteous anger leads to sins such as hate, rage, bitterness, slander, and murder. Now look, I've got a little chart there, and you've got it on your study sheet. Look at the contrast between righteous and unrighteous. That might help us a little bit this morning. Righteous anger is concern for others. We're concerned that people are being killed helplessly in countries where they're refugees, and, and they're being murdered and gunned down. Unrighteous anger is self-centered. It says, I have been harmed, or you've hurt me, or you've hurt my feelings, or whatever. Righteous anger is under control. Unrighteous anger wants to control those who it influences. It wants to destroy them, wants to do something to hurt them. Righteous anger is tempered with love. We care about those who are being hurt. We care about the defenseless. We care about those who are going without help. Unrighteous anger fosters hate. Let's destroy is the idea there. Righteous anger seeks good things for those that it's concerned about. Unrighteous anger seeks to destroy. Righteous anger takes no pleasure in judgment, but unrighteous anger revels in revenge. Now, when we look at that, is most of your anger righteous or unrighteous? I don't know about you, but most of mine is the unrighteous kind. Because I am thinking about me, it's selfish, I'm not concerned about others, it's just I want to get somebody. Okay? When you see these pictures I have of these people up here, you understand they're angry people. Notice that lady up here? She looks like a librarian, and she just found out that you have a book that's overdue by 20 years. And she's going to get you for it. So he says, listen to me, be angry and do not sin. So there's a righteous anger and there's an unrighteous. We're talking about the unrighteous anger today, okay? A righteous anger is something different. And so the second thing he says to us in verse 26 here is, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And that's the way to quell anger so it does not become something that is wrong. When you nurse your anger and you feed it through negative thoughts, your anger gets stronger and more violent, doesn't it? The longer you don't deal with it, you nurse it, it gets worse. Back in Genesis chapter 4, there were two brothers, and you might remember these two boys. They were the first two sons of Adam and Eve, and they're Cain and Abel. Remember in chapter 4, read chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. You remember the story goes this way, that both of them offer offerings to God. And Cain is a farmer, and so he offers fruit and vegetables and so on. And God said, that's not what I told you. I want an animal offering. Abel offers an animal offering, and it's accepted. But in chapter 4 of Genesis, verses 5 through 8, this is what it says. It says, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Your face ever get downcast? Do you know what that means? You ever see somebody has a downcast face? They're mad. They're mad. Okay? That's anger. Show it in your face. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And so you know the rest of the story. God says, where's your brother? And he says, hey, I'm not my brother's keeper. And on it goes. Now look, your anger gets stronger, more violent, the longer you hang on to it. A resentment builds as you remember past hurts inflicted by that same person. Have you ever been in this? Somebody does something to you. Yeah, I remember last week they did such and such. And so then you start counting back. Yeah, and then you remember that time he did that to me. And then that was 20 years ago he did that thing. And before you know it, you're quivering, you're so angry. That's unrighteous anger. And that's the anger that says, I want to get them. In fact, aggression escalates with every renewed memory. And so you recount it. You know, it's somebody, you have a problem with somebody at work. And so you recount it to your friend on break time, how this person did something to you. And then you get home and you tell your wife all about it. And then your neighbor comes to the fence and you tell your neighbor about this guy. And what happens? It goes up and up and up. I just made myself hoarser. And then when you don't take care of it, what happens? It builds and it builds. excuse me, more people become involved as your anger spreads to others, doesn't it? And in Proverbs 4, 22, 24, 25, he says, don't keep company with an angry man because you're going to catch the disease, basically. Have you ever been having a pretty good day? And somebody you know comes and says, you won't believe what so-and-so did to me. And blah, 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 blah. And they start up. And what happens before long? You get the same attitude. It's catching. It's worse than the flu. It catches quick. And so pretty soon you're looking at that person through different eyes. Why, I can't believe you did that to my friend. And so it escalates. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Those little spotted bugs are all over my stuff. And others become tense and on edge because of your angry attitude. Your family is affected by it. You come home and everybody's sort of humming and waiting for something to blow. I see we've been there before, haven't we? And more conflicts with more people come about because of your anger that spills over into them. So pretty soon, you've had this fuss with this guy at work, and then you come home and you're fussing with your wife, and then the kids get involved, and then the relatives come over, and pretty soon they're infected with, and they bring it home with, and it's sort of like the flu. Everybody's got it after a while, and they're not sure where it all started. Anger has the potential to damage, the potential damage to you and yourself and others increases the more you wait and the more you put it off taking care of it. That's why he says, don't go overnight with anger. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate it. Number four. It becomes harder to let the anger go the longer you go with that on your mind. Isn't that right? The longer you nurse it, the bigger it gets. It's kind of like a puppy. When you first get it, everybody says, oh, look, he's going to be small. We can keep him in the house. He's got paws that big. And everybody's saying that. And pretty soon, you feed it, and you feed it, and you feed it. And that then becomes bigger than your house. Well, that's what anger is. Anger grows as you feed it. It becomes harder to let that anger go the more you feed it, the more you talk about it, the more you deal with it, the more you discuss it with others. You go back to Genesis 37 sometimes and read the story about Joseph and his brothers. And their father loved Joseph more, and he gave him this special coat. Remember that? Called the coat of many colors. And his oldest brothers resented that. And they knew their daddy loved him more. And so they were talking about him. And they talked amongst each other. There's this kid, he's got special treatment. And it went on and on and on. And sooner or later, they sell him as a slave, their own brother. And lied to their daddy. We talked about that last week a little bit. So bitterness sets in because you're consumed with your anger. A strong desire for revenge takes over your thinking. Now, if you think of what you have is righteous anger, and you start thinking, man, I'm going to get back at that person, you just cross the line. It's not righteous anger anymore. You're into hate and bitterness, and you are in sin over that situation. So he says, look, take care of it because it only gets worse. Don't go overnight with it. And then down in verse 27, he tells us, do not give the devil a foothold. You see this guy up there? Look at him. He looks like the devil himself, doesn't he? He's so angry. He's pretty mad. I had a roommate like that one time. Okay. Now, you say, what does that mean? Don't give the devil a foothold. Well, anger gives Satan a foothold in your life. How does it do that? Look at verses 30 and 31. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander along with every form of malice. So what does that mean? He's saying, look, anger stunts your spiritual growth. Anger blocks out the Holy Spirit's influence in your life. When you let anger take over, God cannot have his way. It fosters the most horrible sins and the hatred and murder. And so when we continue to nurse our anger, it builds up to worse things. We get bitter. We start talking about the person. We start bad-mouthing them. We start planning strategies to get back at them. And so Satan has a chance to bring all this influence into your life that you wouldn't normally be involved in. Good people that get very angry and nurse it become evil people. How do you think it is that the man who was a butcher that I read about the other day, I think it was in England somewhere, stabbed his wife with a huge butcher knife in the street when she came to visit him at lunchtime? It was because he thought she was having an affair with one of his neighbors, and he never talked to her about it. He just kept thinking, okay, I'm gonna catch him one of these days. And this built up in his mind, and he got bitter, and he got angry. And when she came to bring him lunch very sweetly, he took that knife, and he chased her out into the road, and he literally took her apart with that butcher knife in front of a crowd of people. That's what anger does. It destroys. It stunts our spiritual growth. It starts trouble. In verse 31, notice all those things. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Where do all those things start? They start with anger. It might be somebody didn't say what you thought they should say to you. It might be somebody misunderstood what you said and they reacted to you in the wrong way. It might be somebody stepped on your toes, so to speak, and it was just festering and festering and festering and festering and festering until the big old ugly blister just blew up. I read a story about a lady who the preacher talked about anger and hate and rage, and she went up to him after the sermon and said, "Preacher, I don't hold on to anger. I just blow up and get it over with." And he said, "Yes, just like dynamite. But look at the damage it causes." And so he says anger gives him a foothold in life because it shuts God out of our life. You can't have fellowship with God. 1 John says you can't not love your brothers and sisters in Christ and love God at the same time. It starts trouble. Secondly, it counters, we're to counter sinful anger. And he gives us the idea of how to do that. Look at verse 32. Read it again, okay? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, forgiving each other just as Christ in God forgave you. Number one is confession. Confession. Now, what do you mean by confession? Do you go up to somebody and say, "I hate you"? Is that what you're saying? "You're a terrible person and I'm angry at you." Right? What's that going to do? That's going to start more anger. He's talking about admitting your anger, but he doesn't necessarily say you gotta go there and scream at somebody's face. James chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." In other words, I need to be honest about it. I am angry at my boss because of... And then what do I do with it? That's confessing it. That's admitting it, right? And you may need to go to your boss or your friend or your spouse or your son or your daughter, whoever it is, and say, "You know, I was angry at you because you did that." And you may have a good reason to be unhappy with them. They did something bad. That's the beginning of healing. Because when we hold it in, we don't do any good, right? The second thing is that confrontation. Okay? "I'm angry at you. You need to talk to him about it." Ephesians 4:25. Remember that verse? "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body." Notice that. Speak truthfully. If you ever had somebody you could tell were upset with you, and you say, "What's wrong? I want to get this straight. We have things haven't been right between us. What's wrong? Tell me." "Nothing." "Please tell me what's wrong." "Nothing." "Are you sure?" "Yes." Sometimes we need to just speak the truth. Now, sometimes people blow up when they get angry. Some people clam up, right? Blow up, you release anger through verbal or physical abuse or something. Clam up, you deny or repress your anger. It becomes a smoldering anger that leads to bitterness. And most of the most heinous crimes are those smoldering anger. The world hates me, I hate the world. There's that, you know, you're not saying you're angry. You don't want to admit it. You're just stewing. And some people have this motto: "I don't get mad, I get even." And they're stewing. They're thinking about how, "Boy, just wait. I'm going to get my chance." And that just destroys the individual who's angry. Does it do a lot for the other person? It doesn't hurt them too much unless they take it out on them. But it destroys you when you do that, right? All that inside you, all that anger, all that hate, all that, you never have any peace. You certainly can't have a relationship with God. Hey, suddenly I'm on. Wow. I think this thing's got a short in it. God wanted you to hear that one. And so, you know, you're not confronting, you're just not admitting it, you're just getting worse. Confronting a situation straight on means you talk to the person you're angry with. In other words, "Look, I'm unhappy with you because of this reason." And by the way, not in a screaming voice. That doesn't work very well. Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath, right? And so if somebody comes to you and says, "Look, I'm upset with you because of what you said," that's honest. Now, don't go scream in their face. And then how do you respond if you're on the other side? How do you tone down the anger? You don't say, "What's your fault?" Right? You find out what you did wrong, and you confess it, and you work on it. There's nothing worse than two people who are out yelling each other. And, you know, it's just two big loudspeakers just blaring against each other. Nobody gets anything done. Confrontation doesn't mean you have to be mean about it. Remember, he said, speak the truth in love. And it may be that you need to send them a note if you can't speak civilly to them. I'm sorry, I've been angry with you. And this is the reason. And I want to get it straight. That brings the temperature down, doesn't it? Brings the temperature down. Talk to the person you're angry with. Ask yourself, "Why am I really angry? Why am I angry? Why did him just saying those few words make me so angry?" And sometimes people take things wrong. You know, I'm bad about joking, and sometimes people take it the wrong way. Sometimes people misunderstand what people said. And so we have to say, "Why am I really angry? Why did I get so angry when my friend said this to me or my boss did this? What will this anger cause in my life? Will this bring me and my brother closer together, or will it make us further apart?" Consider the consequences when you get angry and when you blow up somebody. Who will this anger hurt? You know, so often, especially in families, who is hurt most from the anger between spouses, your children, because they love both of you, and it scares them to death when they hear mom and dad upset at each other. Who's it going to hurt, all this anger? Is it going to hurt this other person? A lot of times they don't even know you're angry. It hurts you. It hurts people around you. So confession, confrontation, and then compassion. The last part of verse 32, kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Now there's a big word there. Forgiving means one thing. I put it aside, and I don't require that you pay the penalty for it. I don't demand a penalty for it. And I don't bring it up next time we argue. You know, what's the famous thing to do? When you have an argument, it's always the stuff that you're supposed to have left behind in the past. Okay? You always do that to me. You ever hear that? Every time you've been doing this for years. And we bring the past back and back and back and back and back till we have all these things we can list. In fact, we can argue for days because we got all this stuff we'll start at the beginning. The first day I met you, you said to us in church and blah, blah, blah. Forgive means you put it aside. You don't require payment for it. Okay? You put it aside. I'm done with that. That's what God did for us. He says, forgive the way God forgave you. What did God do? He put it aside. Christ paid the price. He doesn't come back on you for it. Wouldn't that solve a lot of our anger issues? Wouldn't that solve a lot of our problems with our family and our friends? So he says compassion. Think about the things you've been forgiven for and forgive them the same way God forgave you. Remember God's forgiveness for you and choose to forgive those who've hurt you. Act out of forgiveness through kindness and compassion. Look at Romans 12 with me for a minute. Romans chapter 12, and you're looking at verse 19. Romans 12, 19. There he's talking about taking revenge. And the truth is, we don't do take revenge. What if God took revenge on us for the death of his son? You caused his death. I caused his death. He died for us. What if God took out his revenge on us? Instead, he forgives us, right? He gave his son to forgive us. Look at chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 19 through 21. He says this. Well, let's go on back to 17. Do not pay anyone evil for evil. Uh-oh. We've already broken that lots of times, haven't we? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. 18, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's hard to take. Oh, here we go. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You ever try that? You ever do the opposite of what you really wanted to do? It's hard. It's hard. But what he's saying is, you act out, you forgive, then you act out the forgiveness by doing kind and compassionate things for the individual who hurt you. That disarms them. Have you ever been so mad at somebody and you just can't hardly stand to be around them, they do something nice for you? And you say, stop being nice to me, I want to be mad at you. Anger, unrighteous anger is wrong, and it destroys so much in our lives. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others that we ought to be loving and ought to be getting along with. Uncontrolled anger is wicked And we've got to get it out of our lives. Pray with me for a minute. Now, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ, I want you to consider that, because you don't have the power to deal with this uncontrolled anger if you've never trusted Christ, because you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. And today I'm asking if you would to trust Him as your Savior. It's a matter of putting your trust on Him instead of you to get to heaven. And the Bible says that you're a sinner like the rest of us. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And then it says the wages of sin is death. That means that sin's price is eternal punishment away from God. That's spiritual death. You can't get to heaven with that sin on your heart. But it tells us that Jesus died in our place on the cross. It says He died, the just died for the unjust. He was perfectly sinless, and He paid the price on the cross for your sin and mine. And then it says that He wants to give you this forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift. It tells us that it's not by our works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works. And I'm asking you today to just quietly pray a prayer like this, by faith. It's a faith, not the words. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus died in my place, paid the price for my sins. And now I'm trusting You instead of me to get to heaven. I'm asking You to forgive me and make me Yours. And then after that, you might pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, help me to live the kind of life that says, thank You, every day. Lord, we thank You for the truth in this word, and it's convicting. Because so often we would like to think our anger is a righteous anger, and we have a right to it. But when it comes to the point where we are trying to destroy others or hurt them, that's not righteous. When it becomes something that we feed and festers and brings bitterness, and we begin to talk in slanderous ways about others and try to think how we can hurt them, that's not righteous. Help us to confess that we are angry and that it has gotten out of hand. And then help us to confront others who we are angry with and get all that straight. And begin to do good things instead of bad for them, to show them that we've forgiven them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you sing with us? Stand. If you made a decision, want to share it with us, you can do that while we sing. Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like You.
You are the power.